The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, my co-producer, Ken Norton. Welcome. Welcome, Ken. Welcome this morning. Beautiful day here in Sonoma County.
Good morning.
Well, we have a real exciting show today. I have a special guest who will be joining me on the phone, Dottie Lemieux, who's the founder of Green Dog Campaigns in Marin County. And we'll be talking about the upcoming elections and the importance of women running. And it's very, very interesting. This year across the country, there are many, many women running for office. You know, June 5th here in Sonoma County, we're going to have a special election for sheriff. And it's really pretty exciting. Lots of different forums going on. Also joining me on in the studio this morning will be a special guest, our president, Elisa Sanchez, who's the president of KBBF Board, and she's going to give us an overview of what happened this Saturday when we celebrated the Day of the Child here at KBBF. And I want to do a special shout-out to three people. First of all, our board member, Michelle Morales, who really had worked very, very hard on this event, and also our sponsors were me, Ranchito Restaurant and Ostroga's Car Repair here in Sonoma County. Thank you so much. And Alicia will be talking about the event. Well, what a weekend. I cannot believe it. First of all, a shout out to the Rincon Valley Library. We had a wonderful, wonderful forum. There were several different women's groups that talk about women in history, and it was very, very exciting. I want to thank them very much for hosting it. I was there as the president of NOW, and it was really quite an interesting gathering. And also, if you remember, I had Mandy Brooks on the air with me, who was the producer of the Women's Music Festival that happened this weekend. I got to tell you something. I had the most exciting experience. I could not believe. First of all, the music that came forward, a shout out to the Arlene Francis Center and especially to Martin for creating such a wonderful atmosphere and all these women dancing and just having such a wonderful time. Well, one of my favorites was there, Nina Garber. And I just love Nina. And she has no idea that in 1976 that I was here at KBBF playing all the women's music that was happening back then. And I got a chance to speak to her for about 10 minutes. And I'll tell you, it was just wonderful seeing these women and meeting Nina. It was a wonderful event. So thank you so much, Mandy Brooks, and all the folks, all the volunteers. I mean, she had so many volunteers. It was just amazing. And that's what it takes. It takes a community to come out and to help make these important things happen. I mean, it was just amazing to me. And another thing I did this weekend, we had Earth Day, which was another very, very interesting event. I'd like to do a shout out to Leslie Graves, who from the city of Santa Rosa, who organized it. I want to thank her. It was a wonderful event. Lots of interesting tables and interesting conversations about how to save the earth. A lot of children's games and a lot of children were there. It was just, let's put it this way, it was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed it. And it's hard to believe that it's been, what, I think, do you remember when the first Earth Day was, what year it was?
1970.
In 1970 was the, yeah, here we are, how many years, 70, 80, 90, it's about almost 50 years now, and my God, we're still struggling. I mean, you think that people would wake up and realize that we've got problems with the climate. We've got all kinds of issues that are going on. And people act like it's not happening. But here on Earth Day, we could all walk around. We could see all the different innovative things that have come up over the years. And it just was a marvelous festival. And I want to, like I said, do a shout out for the city of Santa Rosa for organizing it and putting it together. But you know, folks, we have to pay more attention. We have to pay more attention to what's going on with our environment. And we have to start writing the president and saying, hey, climate change is reality. and the children are the future, and we have to start really focusing. I mean, I hope it's not too late. But anyway, thank you, Santa Rosa, for doing such a great job. Well, I have a few announcements, Snake, and what's happening on Tuesday, May 1st, they're going to have it's International Workers' Day, and at 2 o'clock, they're going to gather for music and speakers at the Roseland Village by the Dollar Tree, and at 3 o'clock p.m., they're going to march to downtown Santa Rosa. So that's going to be Tuesday, May 1st. There's going to be a walkout, and hopefully maybe next week we'll have somebody on the air that's going to talk about it. We also have some sheriff's forms happening, and it's very important. You know, one of the things about elections that is very interesting to me, you know, you get hundreds and hundreds of flyers in the mail, and you have to ask yourself, where's all the money coming from for these flyers? You know, and what does a flyer tell you? A flyer only tells you what somebody decides to write on a piece of paper. That's why you need to go to the forums. They're very, very important, particularly the sheriff's forums. But right now, it looks like what's going to be happening is, let me look at this. Here we go. Today, which is Monday, April 23rd, from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Sonoma Veterans Hall, that's in Sonoma, California, at 126 First Street West in Sonoma, they're going to be having, the three sheriffs will be doing a forum there. It's very important that folks show up. And then also, this is a little bit further ahead, but on Wednesday, May 16th, from 7 to 8 p.m. at the Rincon Valley Regional Library, they're going to have a talk about the ballot measures, pros and cons. So it's very important that people show up. And in everything that I talk about on the air, I list on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com. So it's very important that you check it out and you see what is going on in our community. I try to list as many things as I possibly can. Well, I'm waiting for Alicia Sanchez. Alicia, are you out there? Alicia's going to talk about the Day of the Child and what she thought of the event and the folks that came out. Another thing that I'm going to be doing today that I think is going to be very interesting is I'm going to combine poetry and songs. It's not every day that I take a few minutes here on Women's Spaces to kind of share some of my opinions. You know, I always have some really wonderful guests, which is really exciting. And also, I want to encourage people to go on www.womenspaces.com and go to the political section, and you can hear the interview that KBBF 89.1 FM allowed me to have. Well, I'm looking at the studio, and I see my beautiful, beautiful president. I'm going to call her the Silver Fox with that beautiful, beautiful hair. Well, welcome, Alicia. Welcome, Alicia Sanchez, to Women's Spaces.
Thank you so much, Elaine. Thank you so much. Yeah, I get different names with this hair.
I'm telling you, I never realized how beautiful your hair
thank
was
you
until
so
this
much.
Moment. Well, Alicia, you know, one of the things about KBBF that I personally love is that we are truly what I would consider a community radio station. And on Saturday, we had a wonderful celebration. I'm sorry that I couldn't be here. There's so much going on.
Oh, my gosh. There was Earth Day. Of course, usually we participate on Earth Day activities. But unfortunately, this year we couldn't because we had this event. And, oh, my gosh, it was beautiful. It's called El Día de los Niño, El Día de los Niño, which means the Day of the Child. And actually, this is a Mexican tradition, and it is in Mexico, just like you have Father's Day and Mother's Day, for example, and their Mother's Day is a national holiday, May 10th. Well, the Day of the Child, it's actually April 30th. It's April 30th, and it's an official day that's nationally known. It's been celebrating since 1925, imagine.
Wow.
1925. So it's April 30th, what happens, it becomes, the schools are usually shut down, the malls, they make little special little dolls for them that I think Michelle or took a picture of one of the little dolls that they make for them. And this is a day because Mexico believes that the child, their children are so important, and that they at least have to have one day where they will be able to just rejoice and say, I'm a child, and here everybody's paying tribute to them.
Well, also, the children are our future.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, for heaven's sakes, I mean, to celebrate. I mean, I think we have to, we don't celebrate our children.
No, it's sadly that, but over in Mexico, it is, like I said, it's almost like, it's not even a schedule in the, it's a sort of like a national holiday that everybody assumes that there's not going to be school, and the child is going to be that total focus of giving the child gifts and everything else. People make donations so that then they take them to the orphanages, they take them to different places, because especially the majority of the poor are children, and so they try to, at least for one day, that child feels so important in his life, in her life. So anyway, we had the celebration here in KBBF, and it was organized by Santos Molina and Michelle Morales. Both of them are board members of KBBF.
Really, it's really cute. You know, I love Michelle. I mean, she works with children. I mean, she works, I believe, in the school system.
Yes, right,
too.
She does.
So she wrote, she says, I want to read what she wrote. She wrote a little note. The event took place from 2 to 4. We had a wonderful author, storyteller, Laura Casillas, and I saw a picture of her from Calea, Mexico. So she actually came in from Mexico, and the audience was mesmerized. This is what she's saying. And there were folk dancers from Windsor. And you know, one of the things that the notice I got is, I believe that we're going to post those pictures on KBBF.
Yes. So on our website, kbbf.org, and also on Facebook. Yeah, our Facebook.
Beautiful pictures. I mean, and seeing the families coming in and seeing the children working, it was just amazing. So there were folk dancers from Windsor group called Sarita, and they had some other nonprofits there. Who else other do you remember?
We had that. Well, the nonprofits there was PDI.
They had the dental. The dental.
Yeah, the dental. And then we also had Hugo Amata, one of our board members here. I mean, not a board member, our programmer. He also had his organization talking about environment issues, especially because being on Earth, being Earth Day celebration, and we couldn't make it over there. And also we had from Migrant Education, we had there. And there was another one. I'm sorry right now. Oh, the Parent Institute was here. So it was very nice that those nonprofits came and gave their information to all of them. And so it was it was good. And we ended up selling tamales and for KBBF, since we always have to be raising money. And it was just wonderful. It was just a wonderful, and like mentioning the woman who told the storytelling, it was amazing. She just it was in Spanish, and it was beautiful. It was stories, because she believes that elders, we have to tell keep telling stories in a way so that we can maintain our history, our culture, and our roots, she said. So it was beautiful. It was an incredible party, and the children enjoyed themselves. Wonderful. They had a great time. So it was a tribute to them, and I think we did a good job.
But also, you know, one of the things, as I'm sitting across from you, you know, people can't see us. They can only hear us. You know, I can see the joy. You know, I can see the joy as a woman, as a mother, and also as the president of the station. So what did you walk away with when, after it was all over, and you just sat in your room all by yourself, and you thought, wow, this happened? What were the thoughts that went through
your head? I feel like exactly what you said at the very beginning, that KBBF is a community radio station. We really are true to our vision of empowering the community, involving the community, educating the community, informing the community. We are the community ourselves, you know, and we are such integral, I guess is the word, not a long-term relationship we've had with KBBF here, all of us that have been here. You know, you've been with KBBF for so long. And a lot of it, the reason we've been here, even as volunteers and doing all of it, is because we have such a great love for KBBF. And why? Because KBBF is part of the community, is the community. And I think we've done a great job, you know, and that's what makes us happy, you know.
I want to insert something here. You know, you said part of the community. The community, yes, we serve the community. But for you folks out there listening, we need you to support us as a community. So really, I encourage you to, at the very least, you know, the very least everybody can do is just become a member.
Yes.
Just
and you know what is so easy now is that you can go to kbbf.org. That's all. KBBF.org. There, right there is a button. You can become a sustaining member. And we have, now we're building that, sustaining, membership, which is great. It's $4.99 per month. $4.99 per month. You just push it there and it automatically comes out of your checking account or your credit card. And it is so wonderful that you really are supporting KBBF. And for us, it really makes a big difference.
It does. And also, and just to let folks know, you know, everybody here at the station is a volunteer. I volunteer. Not only do I volunteer, but I pay a monthly stipend
exactly.
to be on the
air. All of us pay $20 a month.
And you know something? I do it gladly.
Yes.
And everybody out there, just go on to kbbf.org. I didn't mean to get on that, but when I'm listening to you and I'm watching you and I think of community, I think we need the community to support them.
Yes.
Okay, so one last thing. Is this going to be an annual event?
We hope to do that. Just like we have our trick-or-treat that we do for during Halloween, that is now what we're going to, in October, it'll be our fifth year that we've been doing it. We're hoping that this, Dia del Niño, will become an event that we do every year. So we're hoping, especially because, you know, like I said, it was such a great event that we really want to see those smiling faces, not only of the children, but of the parents and everyone having a great time.
And also, I want to do one more shout out for Santos Molina and also for Michelle Morales.
Exactly.
I mean, they are such hardworking board members. It's just amazing. Well, any last words to our listeners?
No, just that thank you so much for all of you who came. Thank you to our sponsors. And also thank you again to Santos and Michelle, of course. But also just to let you know that we're here. We want for you to come and visit us. Part of the family of KBBF. And thank you so much again for all the audience, and especially the audience that you have. They're wonderful.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
And thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, we were just listening to Alicia Sanchez. She's the president of our board of directors here at KBBF, talking about the Day of the Child that we just celebrated on Saturday, April 21st. And thank you so much, Alicia, for coming in. Well, lots of excitement going on in this studio, and I personally am so excited. I'm so happy to be part of this, like Alicia said, part of this family. I mean, Ken and I, we come in every Monday. We sit down at our here in the studio, and we go on the air, and it's just, we have a whole support team behind us, and I want to thank everybody for doing that. Well, we're going to take a musical break, and the song that I'm going to be playing is a Michael Jackson song, but it's sung by another artist. It's an amazing song. It's called The Earth Song, and it's sung by a woman by the name of India Carney. And I want to dedicate this to all the folks that turned out for Earth Day, all the celebrations across the country, and also a reminder, folks, that we live on the planet Earth. We are a family of humans, and we have to start thinking about it that way. You know, we live on our mother, and we need to come together as a family. And I encourage you, there's a poem that I wrote, I Am Women, I Am All Women. And I encourage you to go on www.womenspaces.com and look in the poetry section and read that poem, because that is the basic philosophy of the program here. And also, the poem itself was actually inspired by Alicia Sanchez. I saw her at a rally one time speaking in Spanish, and I started to cry, and I wrote this poem, and it's been my signature poem for the last 10 years. So I encourage you folks to go ahead and listen to it. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to listen to The Earth Song by India Carney, and when we come back, we will be talking with Dottie Lemieux, founder of Green Dog Campaigns, and we'll be talking about the recent elections coming up and the power of women in politics.
What about sunrise? What about rain? What about all the things that you said we were to gain? about killing fields? Is there time? What about all the things that you said was yours and mine? Did you ever stop to notice all the blood we've shed before? Did you ever stop to notice this crying earth, this weeping shore? What have we done to the world? Look what we've done. That you pledged your only son. Did you ever stop to notice all the children dead from war?
My goodness, that song is so powerful. You know, I can feel the anger, and sometimes I feel that anger. Come on, let's do something. Let's get it moving. Anyway, for you folks just joining us, you're listening to KBBF 89.1 FM Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest, Dottie Lemieux, who's on the phone right now with me, and she is the founder of the Green Dog Campaigns. Welcome, Dottie. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Hi, Elaine. Happy to be here.
Oh, my goodness. I just love having you on. You're one of my favorite guests, you know. And let me tell my folks a little bit about you, and then we'll go into the interview. Is that okay?
Sure, go ahead.
Dottie Lemieux has successfully run campaigns for the state, county, and local offices specializing in progressive women. She serves on the Marin Democratic Central Committee and the State Central Committee and the Executive Boards. She was a Bernie Sanders delegate to the Democratic National Convention and is currently, are you still the membership chair of the Marin Women's PAC?
Yes, I am. Also the vice chair.
Okay, good. Dottie has authored numerous articles for political publications and trains candidates for offices on behalf of many groups, such as Emerge California and the Marin Women's PAC. She writes a blog with political tips, stories, and sometimes satire called The Campaign Cookbook. I like that, The Campaign Cookbook. Leave it to a woman to come up with that wonderful title. She tries to include actual recipes for the campaign trail. Well, welcome again, Dottie. Welcome. Anything that you'd like to add?
No, I think you covered it pretty thoroughly. We're getting ready to go into the campaign. We are in the campaign season.
Can you answer me really, really quickly? You talk about the campaign cookbook. Is that's a blog? How do people get in touch with that?
That is at thecampaigncookbook.blogspot.com.
Okay, so we'll put that on Women's Spaces so people can find it. Well, Dottie, let's start out by talking about the Green Dog campaign. What motivated you to start this company? What do you do? And why the name Green Dog?
Well, Elaine, I have been involved in politics my whole life. I think we've talked about this before. I started campaigning for my father when he ran for sheriff as a Republican back in the 50s, or early 60s, I guess. And my mother was a Democrat, so there was always politics going on in our home. And later on, when I moved to California, I was inspired to run, and I was on a board in Bolinas, California, where I used to live. And then later I ran for supervisor here, did not win, but I really enjoyed the process and learned a lot. And so I decided to go into the business of campaigning, helping other people. I got the name of Green Dog because at the time I was chair of the Sierra Club in Marin, and I really wanted to help environmental candidates. And then later it just seemed like being green was a progressive thing to do, so working with progressives seemed natural, and Green Dog campaigns came to be.
Well, what an interesting, you know, names, you know, people don't realize how important names are. Names have a whole history behind them. I'd love to find out what people, even how you got your first name. So thank you for sharing that. And talk about a little bit about what is, you know, you say that you work with progressive women. What are some of your challenges, and what are some of the challenges, you as a woman, a person that's involved in campaigning and helping other people, what are some of the challenges that you have, and what are some of the challenges that women have when they're running for office or even trying to make the decision?
Sure. Women are always at a slight disadvantage, even now. I mean, in all aspects of life, with, you know, the Me Too movement is going on, a pay equity issue is a big one, and the same for campaigning. And until recently, not that many women really wanted to step up and run. And this is partially because women are usually the ones that take care of the kids, and they have a lot of obligations that men haven't had to have. Now, a lot of progressive women, progressive men as well, are seeing that that's not exactly fair, and so a lot of men are stepping up and taking on more of the family obligations, which does help free up the women to run. And but still, it's harder for women to raise money. That is one of the main challenges. It's harder to ask for money for yourself. Women are great fundraisers for causes, for charities, for other groups, but they're very reluctant to pick up the phone and call and ask people for money for themselves. And unfortunately, we still have a system that runs on money. So people have to raise the money in order to get the message to the voters, their progressive message about how they're going to help make the voters' lives better. And women have great messages. They really have a way of communicating, and they understand what people need because of having often been in situations where they've needed help at some time or another. So they're sympathetic. They make great candidates, and just a reluctance sometimes to get them started. But once they get started and they've got the tools, they're just as good as any man at campaigning.
Well, you know, talking about women, one of the most fascinating things just happened when Tammy Duckworth, who just gave birth to a little girl, brought her to the, I believe it was to the assembly in Washington, D.C. And I saw some clips of it, you know, of her carrying the baby. You know, she lost her legs in the war, so she's in a wheelchair. And there she is carrying this little girl, this little baby with the, you know, dressed in pink. I mean, and when I saw it, to me, it was so stunning because it reminded me that the who's ever there, who's ever making decisions, are doing it for the future of our children. And I thought only a woman could do that. And it was a historic event because I don't believe there was ever a child brought into that assembly.
No, in fact, they were not allowed in the Senate. She was the first one that has been allowed to bring a child and a baby on the Senate floor, and I believe it was a unanimous vote to allow this to happen. So I think it's not the last that we're going to see.
Oh, so it's historic. I mean, it's a reminder. To me, it's a reminder that the children are the future, and that's what everybody's there for. And women bring that to the table. Would you agree?
That's right.
Well, you know,
absolutely.
There's a little explanation here that I thought I would have you answer it for us. You know, we're having two elections this year. We're having one in June, and then we're having another one in November. Can you explain a little bit that why one in June and why one in November? What kind of are the differences?
Well, the June election, I mean, it depends on which elections you're talking about. The midterms. This is the midterm, so there are assembly, Senate, and congressional primaries in June, and those the primaries are when we choose. And in California, it's the top two people, so whoever gets the top votes in whoever the two top vote getters are, they go on to the November general election. We used to have partisan elections in which one would be a Republican, one would be a Democrat, and whoever got the most Republican votes would be the Republican, and the same with the Democrat. But now it's just anybody. So we could have two Democrats, we could have two Republicans in different districts. But the June election is very important, and especially around the country, there are people trying to work very hard to get a Democrat into the top two elections. In some places in California that were heavily Republican, there may be two Republicans running instead of a Democrat and a Republican running against each other. Also in June, there's a few local races that take place. There are some city council races in Marin County. I don't believe there are in Sonoma.
Well, we have a very important election. We're electing a new sheriff, and we actually
that's right. We have the sheriff election, and isn't that a top two election too, or not?
Yeah, absolutely.
Unless somebody gets 50% or more, I believe if they get 50% or more, 50% plus one or more, they have to have a runoff.
It's amazing, you know. I mean, this is the first time in probably three decades that we actually have a choice up here. So, you know, that's another thing. You know, people need to recognize, you know, voting is very important. And we don't, you know, people say, oh, my vote doesn't count. Well, I say, yeah, your vote doesn't count if you don't vote. So it's
absolutely. There have been many, many decisions that have been made on very small vote differences. Sometimes it's even one vote can make the difference between winning and losing. And we have an interesting race here in Marin County. We have a district attorney race in June, that the primary is in June. And we have two women and one man running.
Oh.
And that's kind of historic. We have had a female district attorney in the past, but these three have been running very strongly, pretty much neck and neck from what I can see, since the end of last year. So this primary is going to be very interesting for that reason.
Well, up here,
there's
too.
There's a lot of judge races, too, going on.
Well, that's another thing, too, that people need to recognize. You know, one of the things I try to encourage is, you know you're going to get a lot of pamphlets, but try to get out there and meet the candidates, because there's a different feeling from reading a pamphlet and seeing a picture versus actually shaking that person's hand and asking them an individual question. I mean, you really get the feeling for who, you know, who's running. I had the honor, by the way, of interviewing the three sheriff's candidates, and I'll tell you, it's amazing listening to everybody, you know, how, you know, the difference is, but yet how does that voter make that decision? That's why it's so important to meet people. Well, listen, we're coming to the end of our segment. I mean, time goes by so darn fast in this studio.
It does.
I can't. So any advice, you know, if there's a woman out there, you know, what are some of the steps that you would suggest she takes? Let's say, for example, one of the things I try to encourage people is that we have five board of supervisors, and they're always appointing to different committees. committees and different ways that you can get involved to kind of get your name out there. But what are some of the suggestions that you might make to a woman out there who's maybe thinking about running maybe in the next few years, or even if there's a woman out there that's thinking of running pretty closely? What are some of the suggestions that you would make to them?
Well, I think that what you said about the boards and commissions is very important. If they have an opportunity to get appointed to a board or a commission that they're interested in, they can make a difference right off the bat. They'll get known. Their name will get known. The people who are involved in that board or commission will get to know them. They'll get to know the issues. If they want to run for a county seat, they'll be that much more prepared when the time comes. If they're running now, they should be well underway. Say they're running in the fall, they want to run for city council, Santa Rosa City Council, or one of the city councils that's up in the fall, they should have started, and if they haven't, now's the time to really ramp up. They should ask themselves about how much time it's going to take, how much money it's going to cost. Talk to people who have run before. Talk to people who are in the know about what's going on, what the issues are in their city. Just educate themselves. Go to council meetings. Figure out how much it's going to cost. Start looking for a good consultant to help them, because it's very important, even in a council level, I think, to have somebody to advise you, and then to have also some volunteers and people that can help you on the ground, walk precincts and all those sorts of things. But you have to be prepared and know how much it's going to cost and be willing to raise that money. And there are training programs like we do one. We'll be doing one in the fall for the Marin Women's PAC, and Sonoma women often come and are absolutely invited to come. So we give them tips, and fundraising is one of them. It's one of the main ones, very popular.
When is that training going to be?
We don't have it scheduled yet. I think it'll probably be in August.
So you make
for the
sure
fall election.
Make sure you let me know. Maybe we could have you or somebody else on to talk a little bit about it, to encourage, because I think it's very important that even if people don't want to get involved, they find out what it takes, so they have even a deeper understanding of what it actually takes to, you know, to run for office.
It's, right, and they might want to help somebody else, and that would be great too, to have that understanding and to see who's running, and then they might want to be a volunteer, and that's a good way to start too, because you learn so much by volunteering on other campaigns.
Well, thank you so much, Dottie. I mean, you give us just a wealth of information. So is there anything else that you would like to add, or anything you'd like to share with our listeners maybe that we have not covered? And also, if you could give us your website, I would be happy to hear that. And also to let my listeners know that everything we talk about, again, is on Women's Spaces at www.womenspaces.com. So we'll have all the information on Dottie there. So go ahead, Dottie. Anything else? Any last
words?
Sure.
My website for Green Dog Campaigns is greendogcampaigns.com. Pretty simple. And
how do you spell green? G-R-E-E-N-D-O-G.
Yep, just like it sounds, just like the color. And dog and campaigns with an S on the end. And just be persistent. And if you run once and you lose, don't be disheartened. You can try again. You've learned a lot. You've made friends and connections and networked. And that's the important thing. So be persistent.
Persistence is the key. Well, Dottie Lemieux from Green Dog Campaigns, thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces again and for sharing so much good information, and wishing you much success, whoever you're. Are you running anybody this year, by the way? Are you working with anybody?
I'm working with a gentleman up in Mendocino County who's running for supervisor. He's a teacher. I'm also working for somebody in San Francisco who's running for the BART board. So two very different races in two very different parts of the world, parts of the Bay Area.
Well, I want to wish you the best of luck, your candidates, and thank you again. Thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces.
Okay, and thank you for having me.
You take care, Dottie.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Wow. I'll tell you something. There are so many wonderful women in this world, and Dottie Lemieux is definitely one of them. I really appreciate the fact that she's always willing to come on to women's spaces and to encourage women to run for office. So important. So important. Well, we're going to take a musical break right now, and also I'm going to do something just a little bit different. And since we had Dottie on and we talked about politics, I'm going to play a great song. It's called It's Political, and it's sung by Shannon LaBrie. And when we come back, I'm going to be reading one of my poems and discussing it. So here, let's go ahead, Ken. Let's put that song on. It's Political. About a disconnect, and it's political. I love this. I want a prodigy, someone honest with integrity, a fairy tale in this democracy. I want to move back west, bury all my hopes in Kansas. I'm talking about a disconnect, but it's political. Oh, yeah, so political. Oh So Damn Political. Great, great song. Anyway, you've been listening to It's Political by Shannon LaBrae. I want to make sure that's S-H-A-N-N-O-N. Last name is L-A, capital B-R-I-E, just in case you want to look it up on the internet. Wonderful, wonderful song. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And, you know, I'm going to do something a little bit different today, since we're talking about politics, and we're talking about political, and we're talking about integrity. I thought I would read a piece that I wrote called Power. And it's really interesting. I found this quote by Napoleon. There are but two powers in the world, the sword and the mind. I believe in the long run, the sword is always beaten by the mind. Very interesting thought. The sword is always beaten by the mind. And I really believe the reason that that is so powerful, that statement, the sword is beaten by the mind, because if we make up our minds to go for something other than the sword, we can change a lot of different things. So it's a good idea to start thinking about how we think and what we put in front of us, how creates the reality sometimes that we live in. Well, the greatest power of all is not ruling others or commanding great wealth. Just listen to that. The greatest power of all is not in ruling others or commanding great wealth, but it is commanding the brain's thinking process. That is where all power begins. The wonderful thing is that this power is available to each of us, if only we try. So it's kind of interesting when you start thinking of power and you start thinking of the mind and you start thinking about thinking of things. And so what I did was, I like to take words like the word power, and I like to break it down like a meaning for P, a meaning for O, a meaning for W, a meaning for E, and a meaning for R, and just kind of make a little statement about it. So this is what I wrote about power. Think about this. How can you harness your brain power? So let's look at what power really is, according to Elaine B. Holtz. Remember, this is something that I wrote. So let's take the first letter in power, P. Power is purpose, ideas, dreams, goals. Any product of the mind's eye harnessed to a purpose will produce a storehouse of power. So power is purpose. Let's look at the O. Power is open-mindedness. It is having a mind open to new ideas. It is thinking unfettered by preconceived notions. Let's look at the W. Power is wisdom. It means strength tempered by good judgment combined with learning and knowledge. Let's look at the E. Power is energy. It is the engine of work, the focus of human expression, the capacity for action. Let's look at the last letter, R. Power is responsibility. Very important. Power is responsibility. The greater the power, the greater the responsibility. Power without responsibility leads to corruption and evil. Power united to responsibility is the source of good works and the increased well-being of all. So power is purpose. Power is open-mindedness. Power is wisdom. Power is energy. And power is responsibility. Power is the ability, the vigor, the strength to influence others and to control one's own destiny. It's a lot to think about. It really is. It's a lot to think about. But, you know, I think about these things, you know, and every time I think about them, I try to imagine myself, what is it like if I have some power? You know, do I express my purpose? Am I open-minded? Do I share my wisdom or do I gather wisdom? What about my energy? How much energy do I have? How much am I willing to put into my purpose? And above all, power is responsibility. And also to go back to what Napoleon said, that the power of the mind is more important than the sword, that the mind can beat the sword by making up making new ideas, creating new ideas, moving in a fashion with an idea in mind. Say your idea is peace. You know, all of a sudden you start visualizing peace, and then you start asking yourself the question, what do I have to do to attain it? And before you know it, you're moving forward, and hopefully maybe peace will become part of the equation. Anyway, that's a lot to think about, and I thought that I would follow that up with another one of my favorite songs. It was written by John Lennon. It's called Imagine. But what I try to do because of Women's Spaces is I try to at least find women or that are singing the songs that are these popular songs, and I found a wonderful, wonderful arrangement by the cast from Glee, which was a television show. So when you're listening to the show, when you're listening to the song, the song is imagination. It has to do with the mind. Start imagining peace. Start imagining what steps can you take as an individual? What small step can you do to help create a more peaceful world? And maybe the first step that you can take is to get rid of all the garbage, all the fear, and start imagining peace, imagining love. So here we go with the song Imagine, sung by Glee.
Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too.
The world will live as one. Oh, that song. You know, whenever I hear it, I start crying. I don't understand what it is. Anyway, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. You just listened to the song Imagine by the cast from Glee. And I'm doing something a little bit different, reading some of my poetry and some of my ideas. And I thought this would be a great poem to follow after Imagination. It's a poem that I wrote. I can't believe this. I wrote this during the Vietnam era when I first went back to school in 1970. I started writing poetry. It was very interesting. And this came out, this was even before the Imagine song. And the title was, You Might Say I Am a Dreamer. And here's the poem. Last night I had a beautiful dream about life and all it could mean. I dreamt how beautiful it was to live when the entire world learned to give. Humankind at last learned how to use their highest level of thought. Making wars no longer, peace was taught. Prejudice was a thing in the past. All humankind became equal at last. The cry of hunger and pain were no longer heard every day. Humans learned to give, to help others along the way. How beautiful it is to live. How great to give. Peace at last. War and hate in the dim past. Fear and mistrust were unheard of. All humans knew were trust and love. With a start, I woke up from my beautiful dream. I opened my ears and eyes, hearing and seeing all of humankind's cry. Tears of sorrow fell down my face as I vowed to help change this place. I'll never forget when I wrote it. And when I read it now, it just, something comes over me that I can't explain. And what it is I'm thinking about those young people in Tennessee at this Waffle House and this young man jumping this man with a gun, saving a hero. Here comes this Caucasian young man, walks into a place, picks up a gun and shoots four African-American people and injures four others. And here's this hero that jumps and saves lives. I mean, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. What a tragedy for the shooter that he has that kind of consciousness or that kind of hate in his heart that he wants to walk into a waffle place and shoot people. And look at the courage of that young man who jumped on him and took the rifle away from him, put his life in danger to save other lives. You know, it's an example of so many things when we start thinking about it. So I really encourage people to start asking yourself, what can I do? How can I contribute? Maybe just look at your own biases. You know, maybe just recognize that maybe you have prejudice. Maybe you have hatred. Maybe that you have to learn more about love. Maybe if you're a loving person, give a little bit more. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that each and every one of us can do. And the most important thing is, I'll tell you, get your butt out there and vote on June. We're bringing in a new sheriff here in Sonoma County. You heard what Dottie Lemieux said. There's all kinds of people running across the nation. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening. A reminder, you know, tell your friends that you've been listening to Women's Spaces, and it comes on again at 11 o'clock tonight. I'm excited. Like I always say, I get to listen to my show, but I got a confession to make. I try to turn it on and listen to it, and I say, no, I heard it already when I did it. Anyway, my reminder, like I said, Women's Spaces again airs at 11 o'clock tonight on 89.1 FM and also streaming on kbbf.org. Very important. That's why it's important that we support our radio station here in Sonoma County. Remember, our children are the future, and we must never, never lose sight of that. Well, you've been listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And once again, I want to remind you that the children are our future. And you know, there's a real interesting little poem that I wrote. I don't know if I'm going to have enough time. I don't know if I'm going to have enough time to read it, but it's going to be on the website, and it's called It's for Max. It talks about the children. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
You do because a woman in